more travelers can visit South Africa. This is, of course, as the list of high-risk countries has been revised down from 60 to 22 countries. The Department of Home Affairs says this review of the list was done in such a way that it strikes a balance between saving lives and protecting livelihoods. We're joined now by the Minister of Home Affairs, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, on the line to explain how all of this is going to work. Minister, always a pleasure to chat to you. Welcome back to our program.
Good morning, Bongani. Good morning to the listeners. Thank you very much for having me.
We know, of course, that the tourism industry is significant for this economy. It accounts for 9% of GDP. Yet, of course, we've got to be careful about who we allow into the country in light of this pandemic.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the tricky part, Bongani, that we have to balance lives and livelihoods. Everybody knows the easiest way to create jobs and build the economies through tourism. And yet that's the very area which is hard hit by this this pandemic. So we had to strike a balance.
How did we come up with the initial list, and how have we determined the new one?
Well, Bongani, the initial list was a product of a very, very complicated formula. And that's why we when the cabinet met last week, they sought to simplify it. You'll remember that when we produced the initial list, we actually announced that we'll review it every 2 weeks, every fortnight, meaning we're going to look at exactly what do we gain, what do we look for, how do we make sure that this balance between life and livelihood, which is so complex, how do we make sure that we readjust it?
The new list includes still includes India, the UK and the USA. You've added countries like Germany and Canada. And looking at some of these countries, these are some of our biggest source markets for tourists. There is a concern that perhaps this is not the best way to do it, that we should rather do it on an individual basis, case by case. What's your thought on that?
Well, I don't know what they mean case by case. Those countries that we put there, we put case by case, or when they say case by case, they mean individual by individual.
Correct.
Meaning human beings, case by case, regardless of where they come from.
That's been part of what's been suggested, yes.
Well, look, there are many suggestions, Bongani, as you are aware, all over the world on how to fight this virus. This is something that is new to us. We are fighting an invisible enemy which cannot reason, which is very difficult to understand, and so it's very difficult to satisfy everybody. What we are doing, we are following a risk-based approach in terms of what is probable, what can probably happen. And the issue here is numbers. If you do this, how many numbers of people who are potentially or who are likely to be infected to come to our country? You'll be aware, Bongani, that even in those countries, they are just like us, because they change. They say, okay, because we should not kill the economy.
Sure.
They put certain things aside, but immediately bring them back. I'm sure you are aware that in Europe, whatever they've done now in trying to alleviate, they are going back. They are doing a lockdown again for the second time.
Sure.
That's the unfortunate part of what we are faced with.
Look. I have enormous sympathy for all the people like yourselves who make these decisions. We're all making this up as we go along, as it were. A lot of what is being done in Europe is what we were doing just a few months ago. But as you say, though, this is an invisible virus. It could really come from anyone, from anywhere. Why not make sure that there are protocols in place that will make sure every individual is tested before they come into the country? We make sure that there's strict enforcement of protocols when people are here, aboard, and even when they land, we screen them properly. Coming up with a blanket red list, critics say, will be an unnecessary catastrophe, because even from those countries you may not think a high risk, you might still have people coming into South Africa with COVID-19.
Well, Bongani, when you do protocols or when you do any programs, you also look at your own capacity. You look at what is possible or what you are capable of. We don't only do what is out there. You do what you can afford. Take, for instance, this 72-hour test, which we have agreed we'll do.
Yeah.
Our neighbor, like Lesotho, told us immediately that they are not going to be able to produce that test. They won't be able to come with those results. And yet we know they come daily to South Africa. We even have people who commit daily between us and them. So we put that, but they said, look, it's not possible. We're going, just last yesterday I had a virtual meeting with the Minister of Home Affairs in Lesotho and his team. And they were telling us that, you know, they can't even afford that 72-hour test. And so we are busy working around the clock to give them the antigen test, which the Department of Health promised us might be available before the end of this week. So
what are visitors from Lesotho doing? Sorry, Minister, so what then are visitors from Lesotho doing?
Sorry?
What then will visitors from Lesotho do to come into South Africa?
No. When are they due to come?
You're saying that, you know, that you had this conversation with your counterpart from Lesotho. So I'm asking you, as a result of that conversation, what's the plan for visitors from Lesotho?
Well, the main complaint was that they simply cannot afford the 72-hour test. So they are going to be given a rapid antigen test that they do at the border, which takes 15 minutes, which is going to be a little bit more affordable than the 72-hour test. So I was just saying, whatever decision you take, you also look at your capacity. I was giving that as an example, because you were saying, let's open for everybody and put measures. You know, we don't have the capacity to put those measures of the load of people that may come at any one time if we just open up completely.
Well, wouldn't we do it as a phased approach? In other words, most of the visitors would already come to the country with a negative result, not older, let's say, than 72 hours. You can then, of course, screen them. And if you have concerns based on your screening, only then might you do the antigen test. Wouldn't that surely work?
No. As I'm telling you, the issue is numbers, is probability. How many people? If I do this, how many people are likely to come, and will I be able, will I have the capacity or the know-how on how to control them? It's like, for instance, when we closed the borders, Bongani, we closed 35, we remained with only 18, because the 35 we closed, we did not have staff in health, in agriculture, in tourism, in SARS, we didn't have staff. For all those 35 to mend them. And so that's why we closed them, remain with 18. With those 18, we could send health workers, we could serve workers from SARS, we could serve Home Affairs, we could send police, we could send agriculture, we could send environmental workers, etc., etc. All those are needed to control borders. So you only open those which you think you can afford.
I hear you, Minister. I hear you. I mean, this is really tricky for all concerned, but I'm struggling to understand how if you put these protocols in place, the number of people who come to South Africa already with a negative test, not older than 72 hours, who are screened and are asymptomatic, the people, in other words, who will need this antigen test, if you go through those first hoops, are likely not to be a significant number, given that we're also calling for investment. We're calling for the rebuilding of this economy decimated by this pandemic. Surely it seems to me that there are other ways we could look at this rather than a blanket list.
Well, the list is not blanket, because if it was blanket, it's not blanket because, for instance, the whole of the African continent, we said we are not going to put them on that list, they can come. And we'll put all our resources to try and manage them. Then we said the other countries that are high burden countries, they are the ones where we are using a risk-based approach and say the countries that have got a very high burden where the likelihood of them bringing infections. Because remember, Bongani, the infections here in the country came from European countries. I'm sure you are aware of that.
Right.
Yes. The fact that you have got this disease right from the beginning, it came from European countries. So we have got to be very careful because we don't want a second wave. A second wave will cause us to go back to lock level 5, which was even worse. Then you call me here because the situation will even be worse than what it is at the present moment.
Dr. Erin Motsoaledi, that's your view. Thank you very much for coming on to the program. That's the Home Affairs Minister. Are you convinced by how they are looking at this? Of course, the list is not blanket. It is blanket in the sense that there are specific countries from which no one may come. I meant it in that sense. Are you convinced by your minister's explanation, the risk approach, or do you think on an individual case by case basis is how we should be looking at who comes into South Africa?